We'll call the meeting to order. Members, we don't have a quorum just yet, so Representative... Oh, we do? We have a quorum. Okay, very good. All right. Usually I pick somebody, but today we can entertain a motion to approve the minutes from either side of the aisle here. We have bids going, going once, going twice. In the interest of bipartisanship, I'm going to recognize Representative Hunley's motion to approve the minutes from February 22nd. He's checked them over carefully, and any discussion to the minutes, any changes? If we don't have any, yes, Representative Barrett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It says in the minutes that a quorum was not present, and so I'm wondering if that is accurate.
Oh, I see. Okay. I'm being informed, Representative Barrett, that that was at the time, at that point in the minutes when we started, we did not have a quorum. Down lower, you'll see the second line or the third line from the bottom. At the end of that line, it says a quorum was present. So,
thank you,
but
Chair.
Thank you for checking them over carefully. That's very important. Okay. Representative Huntley has moved the minutes from February 22nd. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And all those against, and we have the minutes approved. Representative Banyan, welcome to the committee, and I will move House File 367, move that it pass and be re-referred to the Health and Human Services Finance Committee. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pleasure to see you again today. And thank you, members, for the opportunity to present this bill to you. One of the themes we have during this session has been to deal with unfunded mandates that are placed before businesses and upon our cities and counties. This bill is an attempt to look at and address what may have been an unintended consequence or may have otherwise be simply a misunderstanding between parties regarding how it is that we test wastewater. In the previous session, we made a change that increased the standard by which wastewater is measured and certification given to municipal labs by the Department of Health. This has turned out from discussing with many cities to have been a rather serious problem for them. Senator Peterson, who is sitting next to me here, also from St. Cloud, brought this issue to my attention, I am glad to be here. But my intention is that we take a look today to discuss the cost of the certification, whether or not something can be done about those costs, the fact that it adds time, staff time, and maybe adding to, in fact, taxes needed to pay for this additional. This additional certification that is not required by federal standard, but is instead a higher standard that is not held by a majority of the states in the U.S. With that, I have a number of guests today on your list, testifiers. Just to note for you, keeping score, Mayor Miller is not with us today, so he will not be testifying. But I have other folks here, and I thought I would at least start by allowing Senator Peterson to make some introductory remarks. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Banyan. Senator Peterson, welcome to the committee. It's nice to have the puttered wigs and gowns over in our neck of the woods. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I am grateful for the opportunity to just have a minute to address this issue and try and present a situation that's clear for you to be able to have some information and make a decision on. If you live in a community right now that's serviced by a wastewater treatment plant, this will absolutely affect your municipality. It will absolutely save them dollars the minute that this would move forward and be signed into law. The situation, my background is I served on the St. Cloud City Council for a number of years leading up to giving this opportunity to serve in the state Senate. And we saw this on a regular basis. The wastewater treatment facility, you'll hear from others about that collaborative effort, but it's an enormous expense. And the whole basis of this bill is to give responsibility back to those municipalities that send the bill. If you have problems with your water or your wastewater system in your home, You don't necessarily call the state. You call the person that's sending you that bill. And that's the city council, that's the mayor, and the public utilities director that operate the wastewater treatment plants where you live. And so we will present a situation that will give you a chance to put authority back in the hands of those city councils, and we'll also give them a chance to save their taxpayers real dollars the minute that this moves forward. Thank you.
Representative Bennion, do you have some testifiers you want to bring forward?
I do, in fact, and I think to give you a broad overview at this time, I'd like to bring up Elizabeth Wafel. She works with the firm of Flaherty and Hood. She's speaking on behalf of the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities.
Thank you.
Very good. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chairman. My name is Elizabeth Wafel, and I am a lobbyist with the firm of Flaherty and Hood, speaking on behalf of the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities. The Coalition is an organization of approximately 77 cities throughout Greater Minnesota, united to advocate on issues of common concern, including wastewater treatment facilities. Many of our cities operate their own wastewater treatment facilities themselves or jointly with other cities, and they are affected by these NELAP requirements that were adopted in the 2009 law. Wastewater treatment facilities play a very important frontline role in keeping Minnesota water clean. These facilities can achieve their results better if they can operate their own testing labs on site and if they are not bogged down with unnecessary paperwork that would be brought on by this NELAP accreditation. Facilities across the state, and you know, ranging from, and Mr. Robertson will talk some more about the different cities that are concerned, but it's small labs, big labs, are concerned about these new accreditation standards and believe that it gets in the way of playing their important role in keeping water clean. I received an email just this morning from the city of Mankato from Mary Fralish, the director of public works up there. And she said that adequate controls and costs are already in place. The lab is currently certified with the Department of Health. The current requirements alone are estimated to be 50% responsible for the expansion of Mankato Laboratory from one full-time person to two persons. The balance was due to the other expansion. But the cost of the city of 50% of that person's salary and benefits equals approximately $50,000 per year. That's just for the current requirements. The new NELAC standards take these requirements to a whole other dimension. The NELAC standards are 324 pages long. The wastewater lab even has to address trade secrets, even though we have none. Now, she sent me a very lengthy email. I will not read the entire thing, but you know, different labs of different sizes have had to or will have to incur additional requirements that get in the way of them being able to do their job as wastewater treatment facility labs. In these challenging times, the added fees and other associated costs, such as updating their quality assurance manuals, which many have had to hire outside consultants to update, and they have to update these annually, the burden of added checklists that they have to do and paperwork are taking a significant toll on these labs. In larger labs, it takes it diverts staff away from investigation and other valuable work focused on the actual work of the wastewater treatment facility. In smaller labs, the additional quality assurance and quality control requirements make it difficult for the lab to operate at all. Our laboratories in our cities believe that some sort of approval process is fine. There was one in place before this change was made. And we would like to see a common sense solution, perhaps a two-tier certification system, or going back to the original system of approval. There are all of the cities, just so you know where this comes from, their NPDES permits require them to be approved by the Department of Health. You know, and we're okay with that approval process. This NELAP process, which the other testifiers will describe more in detail, just adds burdens that are unnecessary to the city, and it gets in their way. So we urge the legislature to help us achieve a common sense solution to this problem by supporting HF 367.
Good. Thank you, Ms. Wafel. Any questions for the testifier? Yes, Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Wafel, the bill's kind of been presented with sort of a theme of, you know, let's take off responsibilities or undue burdens, but no one's really explained to us the difference in the standards, and our voters approved a sales tax increase largely because of the clean water provisions of that proposal. All the polling showed that that was the thing that the public, you know, was most engaged in. And, you know, the wastewater rules that we have are actually to protect our lakes and rivers. And so if you could tell us a little bit more background on what you're trying to do other than get rid of a requirement, but tell us why the higher standards are not needed, why this is an issue when we're also spending hundreds of millions of dollars cleaning up contaminated aquifers and groundwater, surface water bodies that have been contaminated because of inadequate treatment. So I'm just trying to understand a little bit more the bigger picture. And if you're not the right witness for that, I hope that we will have someone who does have those answers.
Ms. Wiffle.
Thank you. Sorry about that. I think you've raised some important questions. Mr. Gilbertson will probably be able to better address those questions than me. The comment I will make is that these standards are not, they're not getting at the clean water themselves. In fact, I think Mr. Gilbertson can probably explain to you why the accreditation standards actually get in the way of wastewater treatment facilities being able to do their job cleaning water. It's a certification process that allows them to have a lab on site. But Mr. Gilbertson is more of a technical expert on this, so if it's okay, can I defer that question to him? Because I think he'll be able to better answer your question.
Okay. We have a question from Representative Kiffmeyer. Why don't we do that first, and then we'll have the other testifier come up? Okay, very good. Thank you, Ms. Weifel.
Thanks.
So next we'll have Scott Gilbertson.
Mr. Gilbertson, welcome to the committee if you want to step up.
He is the water and wastewater supervisor with the Melrose Public Utilities.
We'll have you state your name for the record and then proceed.
Good afternoon, Chairman. My name is Scott Gilbertson. I'm the water wastewater supervisor for the Melrose Public Utilities. I've worked with the Department of Health on this issue as a small laboratory advisory committee member in the past. I'm here to represent the area wastewater treatment facilities and municipal laboratories throughout the state, all sizes, on this very issue. Patrick Shea, the Public Works Director for the City of St. Cloud, asked me to testify today, and his thoughts are also on this sheet here that I'm going to read. And we share the same issues with the NELAC accreditation. The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency mandates wastewater facilities report all required test results for their NPDES permit to be tested by a Minnesota Department of Health certified laboratory. Prior to 2009, the Minnesota Department of Health had a certification program. In 2009, the Minnesota legislature adopted statutory changes that, in effect, mandate all municipal environmental laboratories to adhere to the voluntary National Environmental Laboratory Accreditation Program, which is NELAB. NELAC is a voluntary organization of state, federal, and special interest groups formed to establish mutually acceptable standards for accredited laboratories. NELAC is a subset of NELAB. It's a 501c3 corporation with only 14 states voluntarily participating across the nation. NELAP sets stringent rules and guidelines outlaid in a 324-page document called the NELAC Standards, which are then enforced by the Minnesota Department of Health, the Accreditation Authority. By comparison, in 1998, when the Department of Health had their own certification program, that was a 16-page document. For water and wastewater treatment labs that are accredited, satisfying the many requirements set forth from the NELAC program has proved quite difficult. Most municipal laboratories only have one, maybe two staff members, and NELAP by design makes sense for possibly larger commercial laboratories that take in samples from all across the nation. It's kind of a stamp of approval. This one-size-fits-all mentality that Minnesota Department of Health adheres to, along with the agency's unwillingness to set up a two-tiered program, has left many smaller municipal laboratories at a difficult crossroads. Financially, just the NELAC accreditation requirements have increased fees upwards of 30% to 40%. That's base fees, and then they'll charge per parameter you're going to test. Some increases have been from $1,600 every 2 years to $3,000 or more annually. Labs are spending more on staff costs, upwards of 20 to 30 hours per week, not testing, not doing the required tests. This is just to keep up with the quality assurance and quality control measures required by NELAC. And let me state, a few years back, the Department of Health started gearing up for this NELAP accreditation. So we've been under the gun here for 3-4 years trying to keep up with the new regulations that have been put upon us. Another cost is now we must run 2 proficiency tests per year at a cost of $1,500 plus labor, which is a very labor-intensive process. These costs may drive municipal laboratories out of business. The alternative requires all of us to ship our samples all to commercial laboratories, which there are a lot of wastewater treatment facilities doing that already. Most of the facilities that I'm representing are 1 million gallon a day facilities or larger. Class A major facilities require to test their parameters 2 to 3 times per week, usually 5 to 6 or 7 analytes total. I want to share a couple comments from some colleagues that I spoke with. And the first one is Robert Van Moore. He's from the city of Marshall. He's the wastewater superintendent. Marshall is still complying with the NELAC standards. This makes it very difficult when our lab size is limited to 1 full-time lab technician. The rules are so overbearing on the workload in the lab. The parameters we are testing for are for our NPDES requirements only. The educational requirements and the classification of your plan are too extreme. The cost is overburdening to the cities. Andy Bradshaw is an engineer and also takes care of the laboratory for the Moorhead Wastewater Treatment Facility. States there's a lack of environmental benefit to being NELAC accredited. Municipal labs are splitting hairs and spending excess time on quality assurance and quality control measures that could be spent on process control and facility operations. This is especially unproductive considering the concentrations used for most permit limits. Most of the more stringent lab requirements over the past few years have no impact on the mission of the municipal labs or environmental quality. When labs drop certification or the lab altogether, process control is seriously impacted and or the needed data is delayed. This legislation would exempt municipal labs from the NELAP requirements, but let us be clear, we are not opposed to a certification process. We want to be certified, but it require a second tier to be developed and regulated either by the MPCA, Minnesota Department of Health, something separate from the NELAP program. Actual testing limits, frequencies of testing, and NPDES permit requirements will not be affected. We ask that the legislator help us find a common sense solution to this problem. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Gilbertson. I know one question I have around this, and I think maybe other members do, is this a matter of degrading water quality as a result of lower standards, or is this really more of a duplicative, having to do a lot of extra work that maybe isn't necessary?
It has no effect whatsoever on water quality standards.
Representative Kiffmeyer, we had in line, and then Representative Loeffler.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and that was along my question. Well, I know that resources are tight in your cities, and so I think it's really important that we carefully consider the value that we get from more expense. Mm-hmm. And so I think what Chairman Gutwald asked as well was my line at the same way, is all of that going to help get cleaner water, or is it just going to help get more paperwork, which actually can hinder you?
It's exactly what it appears now that we've been trying to adhere to the NELAC rules, the NELAC standards, which are 324-page document. stacked full of paperwork requirements. We've already documented for as long as I've been in the field, which is 20 years, we have done proficiency testing to compare and analyze our results with outside laboratory results. We have gone through the inspection process both with our NPDES permit from the MPCA and Department of Health. If you're certified, they come in, they do an on-site audit of your facility, and it takes on more of an instructional tone. If you're going to get a NELAC inspection, which I just went through a few weeks months ago, it's an 8-hour inspection that is it's very formal, and it actually ties the hands of both sides of the parties. You just need to be online with the accreditation process, or they're going to suspend your accreditation.
Representative Kiffmeyer?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think this is one of those situations. Our focus needs to really be on the priority of the quality of the water, not on the mounds of paperwork. And so, I think we should pass this bill and free them up to do the good work that they do. I think they've proven themselves. So it's just really kind of amazing to me in a way that we would hinder good folks, especially during a tight financial time. So thank you for being here. Appreciate your good comments. Thank you.
Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Gibbelson, you've been kind of nominated to be the expert so we can kind of all get around this, because most of us around here are not water scientists, let's say that. And so the first thing I had heard was about wastewater, and then I heard you say water and wastewater. So you can you tell us, does this apply to both testing of drinking water that you're providing in a municipal water system, as well as testing the wastewater treatment operations that a city might run?
Mr. Gilbertson.
Well, the way the bill is written, it is exempting municipal laboratories. It does not state water or wastewater specifically. In the city of Melrose Public Utilities, we are also accredited for the Safe Drinking Water Act, because we run our own bacteria samples, which is total coliform. That's the only test that we are certified or accredited for on the water side. On the wastewater side, we have 7 analytes: BOD, total suspended solids, total phosphorus, nitrogen ammonia, fecal coliform, and total chlorine residual.
Representative Loeffler.
Given that answer, I would hope, Mr. Representative Bainan, you would consider making this a much clearer, more specific proposal. For example, my city operates a crime lab that tests drugs and things, because the BCA cannot keep up, and so our property taxes pay so that we can have fast and effective criminal response. And when I read this, I didn't know what kind of a lab this was applying to, and I think there's public health labs that are being operated that test for communicable diseases. I think our local governments run a variety of different testing operations in the ag areas. I expect there's maybe even different types of labs than I'd find in my city. So I think we need to be clear on if it isn't this section of law only applies to the water or wastewater. I'm not sure. And then in terms of the, I assume that there was testimony in
Representative Loeffler, I believe that is the case. We do have somebody from the Department of Health here, but does it in fact apply, that the language in the bill applies to a particular section of law, and that section of law only deals with... Mm-hmm. We probably want to have you on record with that. Mm-hmm. If you want to, do you want to step up and just comment on that briefly? And
Mr. Chairman, he could incorporate into his remarks when he speaks. Do you want?
He will be testifying. I apologize.
He will be up.
Very good. Representative Loeffler, you have the floor.
Okay. Thank you. And because we're just trying to understand exactly kind of what's here and what isn't, and I assume that when the NELAC standards were adopted, that would have been in a public hearing process that would have involved probably the Environment Committee. I don't know that it was Health and Human Services. Was the association you mentioned, your advisory committee, were they or others, notified that that was going to be coming through, and you know, did this catch you off guard in some way? I'm just trying to understand, because usually we don't impose something without understanding somewhat of the local impacts.
Mr. Gilbertson.
Being on the committee, we've questioned Minnesota Department of Health staff members why the NELAC accreditation is being sought. What was the need? What's the driver? We were already, we feel our quality assurance and quality control was already above and beyond the requirements of a laboratory running 5 to 7 analysts on the same samples day after day, week after week. The answers we got were they wanted to be on with the other 12 or 13 states in the nation as NELAC accredited. We really don't know what the driver was, and maybe the Department of Health can answer that today, but we know what the consequences are, and some of us maybe didn't realize how severe they were going to be when the legislation went through, and the cost, the labor burden. And I would say most of the facilities that I mentioned, and I can go down a list for you, most of them are 50-50 of retaining their certification at this time, their accreditation. Financially, it doesn't make sense. Labor-wise, with the tight economy we're in, it doesn't make sense. I have had an operator leave last year to another position. That position was not filled, and he helped out a lot in our laboratory. That is just one instance of what's happening all over the state. These requirements aren't necessary.
Representative Loeffler.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Gilbertson. I can see where this imposes some additional responsibilities. I'm disappointed that I don't, but perhaps the Assistant Commissioner of Health will address this. I'm not hearing or seeing on the list of witnesses any scientists or people from the university who might corroborate your impression that these will not improve water quality standards, and that the science doesn't require us to go to this higher national accreditation level. I mean, I don't care where you live. If you live in a big city or you live in a small city, you ought to have equal access to being assured that your drinking water is coming out of the tap has been, you know, tested to the highest level. We spend a lot of money, unfortunately, on bottled water in communities that have found problems with their water sources. And so I think people are really sensitive to that. And, you know, if you could refer us to some resources that would, from a scientific perspective, back up your concerns or your statements that there isn't any greater risk to us not going to certification. Because as I read this, we right now have certification through the Department of Health, and and state law is now taking it to a higher level of expectation to earn that certification. The bill before us exempts them. So,
Representative Loeffler,
am I correct in understanding that we're losing that certificate because they're exempted? Now there might be nobody certifying even at the lower standards.
Representative Loeffler, I might suggest that's a question for our health department person when they come up to testify.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, but I just really want to understand the bill that's before us, and maybe sometimes we have to get the facts situation out first, and then we can understand what the witnesses are talking about.
Representative Loeffler, I'm suggesting that perhaps what we need to do is have all the testimony, and then we can talk about whether we have a gap in the understanding.
Okay, thank you. I was just referred to him as the person who would make it clear.
I'm sorry, Ms. Wafel.
Yeah,
you have something to add here?
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to add on that is that they're still required to be certified under their NPDES permit. And, you know, if we need to amend the law a little bit to make that more clear, you know, that would be fine. It's not there's two different testing that goes on. There's the water quality testing that they have to do to comply with their NPDES permit. That's really what makes our water clean. Those are the Clean Water Act requirements. Everybody agrees we're going to follow this. This does not affect our compliance with that. To meet your NPDES permit, you have to have a lab. that lab has to be certified. So it's that certification standard. Bringing it up to the NELAP standard is where the problem has really come in for these cities. The NELAP standard is basically the standard, you know, applies if you're a commercial lab, if you're another type of lab. These are, you know, 1-2-person labs. We just think that this sort of taking it to that added level of certification, that's not getting at your water quality testing. It's getting at your sort of, it's like adding an extra, you know, I'm a lawyer, it's like adding an extra, you know, licensing standard or something like that. It's that accreditation, taking it to that extra level that we think is too stringent and adds requirements that are not needed for smaller labs. We still think some kind of certification process needs to be in place. Our labs like to be able to say to the people who, you know, are their clients, yes, we are certified by the Department of Health. The Department of Health says we do a good job. You know, we're okay with that. It's the NELAP standard, which, you know, there's only 12 other states that follow this, or excuse me, 14 other states that follow it, even though it's been in place for over a decade. We think that that's too much, you know, placed on that. And I think it gets confusing because there's the water quality standards you have to do with your permit, and there's the accreditation standard. And I apologize if we didn't explain that up front, that's really what we're getting at.
Representative Loeffler.
Well, Mr. Chair, then if I'm understanding correctly, it seems like another option would be to challenge the NELAP standards rather than to exempt them from certification, which is what this particular bill does. And that would be to repeal NELAP as the standard by which the Department of Health would judge that. If I understood it correctly, that's because it's the NELAP level that you have a concern with.
Ms. Wayfield.
Yes, I do not, and the Department of Health will probably be able to better address this. I don't think we can change NELAP. It's a national certification body, so we can't change there is some state-by-state spin that goes to it, but New Jersey, for example, has a NELAP certification, but they have a second level for their smaller laboratories that they can achieve. So, I mean, there's a lot of different ways you could achieve this. You could go back to just having the Department of Health certify it under their own standard. You know, you could create a two-tier system. So there's several different options for addressing it. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you.
Representative Loeffler.
Thank you. I'll continue to listen.
We have Representative Quam, Representative McDonald, and Representative Norton. Representative Quam.
She repeatedly answered my question.
Okay. Very good. Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just defer to hear the Department of Health before I ask my question.
Very good. Representative Norton.
I will as
well. Hey, your next testifier?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Banyan?
Before we hear from the Department of Health, if I could just bring up to testify Shauna Johnson, who's the city administrator in the city of Waite Park.
Welcome to the committee, Ms. Johnson.
Thank you.
Please state your name for the record and then
My name is Shauna Johnson, and I am the city administrator for the city of Waite Park. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I am here today on behalf of the St. Cloud Regional Wastewater Treatment Facility. The St. Cloud Regional Wastewater Treatment Facility handles wastewater treatment for the cities in St. Cloud area, including Waite Park, St. Cloud, Sartell, Sauk Rapids, St. Joseph, and St. Augusta. It is operated by the City of St. Cloud. And as the representative, I would like to extend the support of the members of the Regional Waste Facility for House File Number 367 as it related to exempting municipal laboratories from the NELAP certifications. Our St. Cloud Regional Wastewater Treatment Facility has been challenged to comply with NELAP certifications that, in our opinion, are a process that is not well designed for municipal laboratories. The NELAP process has increased the amount of regulation that we have to comply with, requiring us to abide by about 80 more pages of regulations than to the previous 9 pages of regulations we complied with before the changes applied. This increases our staff's workload by 20% to 30%, and with the hiring freeze in the city of St. Cloud, this workload has not been replaced with additional staff. Instead, it has taken away the time staff normally has spent with conducting in-house testing, which is a vital part of our plant's operation. And it also has forced us to contract out some of these services, which then increases the cost to all of our cities that participate in our program. The additional testing requirements also place burdens on the facility and staff. The amount of time it takes to complete the testing and the costs associated with the testing are doubled. We struggle with the fact that the testing is too precise for what is actually being measured. In evaluating the new testing process compared to the old, the quality controls in accuracy are the same. In fact, we report the same number that we had previously had, but the new process costs us twice as much money. In many instances, this additional time it takes to complete the test is problematic because we're waiting on the information that we need to make decisions. Additionally, the NELAP process also places new requirements on the employees conducting the testing. New requirements now mean that employees must have a four-year degree, where the former requirements did not require this. We've been able to grandfather in our existing staff. However, any new hires would mean that they would have to have a four-year degree in order to be able to do the testing that's required. The NELAP regulations take a one-size-fits-all approach, requiring the same for all labs, regardless of whether it's a large commercial lab or small municipal lab testing for its own purposes. Cities of all sizes with wastewater treatment permits are affected by these rules. Impacts to our St. Cloud wastewater treatment facility are significant to many smaller communities as well. The significance would be even greater. We support House File 267, and we hope you do as well. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for your testimony. Members, any questions to the testifier? Any questions to the testifier? I know, Ms. Johnson, you can hang out close by, and if there are additional questions, we appreciate your testimony.
Thanks.
I'm done, but I believe Mr. Stein from the Department of Health is here to speak on their side of the issue.
He is indeed, and we will welcome him to the committee. Welcome, Mr. Stein. Please state your name for the record. And
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is John Stein. I'm Assistant Commissioner for Health Protection at the Department of Health, and I appreciate the opportunity to respond to the bill and also answer questions that members of the committee might have. The Department of Health, as has been previously testified, adopted these NELAC standards as a result of 2009 legislation, largely because the direction the rest of the country was headed. The Environmental Protection Agency requires the use of the NELAC standards for federally certified samples and results that are required. As previously stated, 14 other states use the standard as the basis of their evaluation for laboratories that are conducting sample analysis, and it was viewed as the most current state-of-the-art standard for environmental laboratories. One of the questions that was asked earlier is, does the law that currently is in place, Chapter 144.98, apply to other testing outside drug samples and so forth? 144.98 applies specifically to environmental laboratories. So these samples are environmental samples that are taken for wastewater treatment permitting purposes that the Pollution Control Agency administers. The Safe Drinking Water Act requirements that the Department of Health administers are also standards that we accredit ourselves. We are evaluated ourselves against the NELAC standards for radioactive materials, radioactive radiation that might be outside the two nuclear power plants around the state and so forth. So the genesis of the NELAC standards was really to take the highest level. I don't disagree with what the municipal laboratory operators are saying. It is the highest level of certification. We have done some efforts to compare our former certification requirements that a couple of the testifiers have mentioned to the NELAC standards. There's a fairly tight correlation between the actual technical requirements for proficiency that are shown. In other words, when a laboratory analyzes a wastewater sample or a drinking water sample or any other environmental sample, the standards under the NELAC standard and the standard we had previously are essentially the same thing. There's not new testing requirements added or more scrutinous ranges of results that are required. So it's pretty much a comparable standard. The other testifiers did mention that there are additional administrative requirements. That's a record-keeping responsibility. One of the things we found under the former certification program we operated was we're having difficulty with laboratories producing copies of their results, certifiable copies of their results. And that was a concern because of compliance requirements for various state and federal laws, and then public confidence and assurance that the results that the labs have achieved can be retrieved efficiently and verified. We have, of the laboratories that are in question today, there are approximately 59 municipal local government labs that are being certified under our program right now. The certification program is voluntary. It's not a mandatory thing. However, the permit requirements do tie it into mandatory status when you get into pollution control agency wastewater discharge permits and then compliance with the Safe Drinking Water Act if any municipal drinking water system samples their own water for compliance. Of the 59 municipal local government labs that have been that are in our system, 76% of them, 45, have already been accredited through the process using the NELAC standards. I think what you heard from the testifiers is that there was an additional burden, administrative burden on those communities that went through that process. That's probably an upfront cost of transforming systems and record-keeping requirements and verification requirements that probably would be lessened after the first accreditation cycle. I don't want to go any further into what other testifiers have said other than their Ms. Johnson that just spoke from Wade Park. One of the requirements she stated was not in fact absolute, that four-year degree requirement is not a requirement under the NELAC standard. You have various means by which you can meet the requirements through experience, through licensing, either as a wastewater treatment operator or a drinking water treatment operator. So there are some things that I think are still being misunderstood, perhaps, and there are certainly things that we as a health department can do to improve our services. I appreciate the opportunity to meet with Representative Banyan and you, Chair Gottwalt, yesterday and talk about these issues, and we are very interested in continuing that dialogue to look for an alternative approach that might satisfy the needs of assuring a high-quality laboratory system in our state for environmental samples, as well as the highest water quality that we can achieve in our state. I think it's important. I've worked in water resources my entire career. I spent 25 years as a hydrologist at the Department of Natural Resources, and now since coming to the Department of Health, I'm very committed to assuring a high quality of water resource management in this state. That said, we're also interested in not overburdening local units of government. To the extent that we can find a resolution, we're committed to continuing to talk with the parties and the authors on this bill.
Mr. Linkstein, if I could ask, does the department have an official position on the bill?
Mr. Chair, we do not.
Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to add, hopefully, some dialogue. I served the last 10 years of the city of Delano as mayor and council, and know that at the local level, you can, from experience, that we know best as to how to ensure the most quality, the water quality in our local area. And that if this is an opportunity to save cities a considerable amount of money, most cities are, of course, struggling with their sewer fees, SAC and WAC fees. This is an opportunity to save cities a considerable amount of money. I would support that. And just know from experience through our company, Viola, under Chuck Keyes, he's received the last 5 years an outstanding performance for our wastewater treatment facility for its operations. And know that we in our own cities will ensure the best quality control, more so than at a state or federal level. So with that, from experience, I support this and encourage the rest to do so as well. Thank you.
Representative Norton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And while I do believe locals can do the job, they also need some regulation from the state at times, and I think that's what our department has been trying to do. As I've listened to this discussion, it seems to me, and I'm very pleased to hear the department say that there's room for discussion on this, because I'm frankly a little concerned with the way the bill is written. I understand the concept and support the idea of perhaps creating a second tier or doing something. In particular, I was pleased to hear that the test results or the performance was the same prior to the certification, that what you had in place was already producing good results. And I think that speaks very well to the local actors and how well they're doing and supports what Representative McDonald was saying. So I guess I would be curious to know if you have some models. I do know some of the other states have tiered models. If you have looked into those, and if you'd be willing to continue some discussion, I do think if you, depending on what you do with the language, and Representative Banyan, that somehow exempting someone from it but not putting in at least the level that was there before, there needs to be some language to assure that that pass certification would be there for the second tier, rather than just a complete exemption. The language just needs to be modified a little bit. But I'm hoping the two of you can talk, and as we move it past this committee, can come up with a compromise that serves our local cities, municipalities, but also keeps us moving toward high standards, and that is something we want for our water in our state.
Very good. Representative Grinhagen.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Chair.
I'm sorry.
I'd ask a question about models.
Yeah.
If they're looking at a model.
Okay. Representative Banyan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Norton. I think we are looking at some models. You've heard mentioned today of New Jersey as being a sample that might be one example that might be useful to us. There are others. We've really just started talking to each other here, and I too am hopeful that perhaps we could arrive at something that would be satisfactory to the cities and meet the requirements of the Department of Health.
Mr. Chair, if I could respond.
Yes, please go ahead, Mr. Lee.
Thank you. Mr. Chair and Representative Norton, yes, we are aware of other models that exist. I think that the clarity we need is coming forth in the conversation that we're having now, and we needed to be clear as to what the concerns of specific labs are. The other players in the conversation that I'd want to be sure to involve would be laboratories that are operating on samples that are received from outside Minnesota, because the commercial labs that conduct sample analysis here want to assure some level of level playing field across the sample analysis spectrum. Certainly their business needs and concerns will be different than municipal government. We respect that, and we'll treat that as it is when we get to the discussion with them. But we are willing to look at those other models, a two-tiered system or some other approach.
Representative Norton, does that?
Okay,
very good. Thank you. Representative Grinhagen.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Linkstein, Commissioner, what I seem to pick up, and I did have to step out for a couple minutes, I apologize for that, was in the testimony that this has more to do with accreditation, layers of accreditation, than it does to do with the testing of the water quality. What's your take on that? And the cost of that additional accreditation, that's what I seem to pick up out of the testimony.
Mr. Linkstein.
Chair, Representative Grinhagen, there is relative comparability between the water testing standards and proficiency requirements between the previous certification requirements and the NELAC standard. The difference does come in the first time you go through the record-keeping requirements and all the other administrative responsibilities. There's differing reports from municipal laboratories on the cost of delivering that on those administrative requirements. I don't want to argue with the testimony you've heard. I think if that's what they have experienced, that's what they've experienced. I've heard different numbers ranging to an increase of 5% over their current operating. That's probably at the low end, but certainly there's an increased cost for the administrative requirements.
Mr. Chair, just follow up.
Representative Grinhagen.
Oh, Commissioner, when I hear the testimony, there's 325 pages of regulations and requirements and mandate. 325? That's, that's a lot more than the Constitution and Declaration of Independence. and to do with the, you know, testing of water. And I'm a layperson, not a, you know, I'm not experienced in this area, but I mean, it just seems like it's overkill and onerous and driving up our costs for our local cities.
Representative Gernhagen, wait and see what some of our bills look like by the end of the session. Mr. Stein.
Mr. Chair, thank you for offering that. Representative Gernhagen, the length of the standard doesn't comport to the content of the standard. Sometimes it takes a lot of words to say a fairly small thing, but to say it clearly. And so what we see in terms of the important work that we do is assisting municipal laboratories in complying. That's what we believe our most important job is, to achieve high water quality standards and assist laboratories in complying with the standard. Now, we've had mixed results with that. And there's no doubt that our staff can do a better job, that we can provide greater assistance, but we're also very willing to look at, as we said in previous testimony, alternative approaches to achieving the same results that might be less burdensome.
Representative Mr. Chair, I just say, boy, I sure hope you can accomplish that with the author of the bill, because, I mean, just as a lay person, government tends to overcomplicate and overregulate, and the result is undue burdens and financial costs on our local communities, and ultimately it doesn't improve the quality of water, and most people don't even understand what's in the 325 pages, would be my guess, and that's one of the reasons you have the type of problems with compliance that you're referring to. Thank you.
Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Linkstein. I am pleased to hear that you're willing to continue to problem solve on this. If I understood it correctly, that this has impact not just on your area of responsibility, though, but also on the MPCA's area of responsibility, and that the MPDS permit has to come from a certified lab. And so if we exempt from certification, we may impact the MPCA's processes as well. Is that correct?
Mr. Stein.
Mr. Chair and Representative Loeffler, that's correct. We would intend to involve the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency in the further discussion of these issues, so that whatever arrangement could be identified, I'm assuming the Pollution Control Agency would adjust their permitting standards or incorporate in future requirements whatever agreement is achieved.
Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Banyan. I think that one way to maybe kind of deal with this, continuing working on this and continuing to have it evolve, might be to think about referring this to the Environment and Natural Resources Committee, because they're going to have to deal with that side of it, just like we had to deal with the MPCA side. And then when it comes back to Health and Human Services Finance, hopefully it'll all be worked out, since it's going to be impacting your state agency budget. But that would be a way to make sure that part of the equation has a chance to learn about these issues and come to the table as well. And so I'd like you to think about that, because I do think you want everybody around the table. We end up back in the same problem.
Actually, Representative Loeffler, we did have the MPCA around the table yesterday. As a matter of fact, we had several people from the Department of Health and the MPCA present. Representative Banyan.
I thank you, Mr. Chairman, Representative Loeffler. I will suggest that the changes, when they're done, will include discussion with MPCA, just as Commissioner Stein suggested, and I would hope that we could deal with that in such a way that, having already had discussion with the chair of our environmental committee, that they'd be satisfied that they don't need to see the bill. But of course, if they want it, they can have a look at it, as any chair of any committee can.
Okay, members, further discussion to the bill. Are there any other testifiers, first of all? Any other testifiers from the public wishing to speak on the bill? Seeing none, committee members, discussion to the bill? Seeing none, I will move that House File 367 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on HHS. Renew my motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Okay, the motion passes, and House File 367 is on its way to the Health and Human Services Finance Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Member.
Thank you, Representative Bannion, and your testifiers. And members, just a little idea of where we're headed. We are going to likely be hearing bills next week on Tuesday. Wednesday we are taking off. I'm sure that won't be a tremendous burden to too many people, but we'll take Wednesday off, and we'll be letting you know where we're going from there. We will have, we'll certainly have additional bill hearings the following week, but that's kind of the path where we're headed. Also, I might remind members, we're kind of creeping up on deadlines, and if I'm true to what we said originally about this being the reform committee, we are looking for good reform ideas, and you know, hearing requests and bills are welcome. So we're looking for good ideas and reform bills before we hit our deadlines. Policy deadlines, of course, are later than finance, but the finance deadlines, any bill that has any money, either saving or cost, would be considered a finance bill and would need to meet that first deadline. Members, no other business before the committee. We stand adjourned.